And now something completely different.
Good afternoon. I'm speaking to you live just outside Los Angeles.
I like to think balding is just God's way of saying, now let's see you get laid.
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
What I'd really like to do is put the greatness of this man in perspective.
The Hair Loss community has a lot to be thankful for, having you as a spokesperson.
You mean you just call this guy up?
About life and about reality.
And now, America's number one reality radio show for men. Live from Los Angeles, it's Spencer Coburn's The Bald Truth.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. 888-659-3727. Thanks so much for hanging out and waiting for us to get our late start. We are live, obviously, from my home studio here in Los Angeles. And if you're new to the program, this is The Hair Loss Show. You're watching and listening to The Bald Truth. Phone number 888-659-3727. With me tonight in studio, special guest, Mr. Andrew Zarian.
How are you? I'm here.
Dude.
I'm in studio.
First of all, your hair looks ridiculous.
Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, well, thank the almighty propitia gods for that.
Well, here's the thing. I wish I would have gotten a hair light. We weren't sure if we were going to do the show. And people need to see exactly what's going on there, man.
So, I mean, it's been almost 2.5 years. Almost 2.5 years.
Dude, it looks...
I went on December 2014. December 4th, 2014, I went on Propecia.
It's like a wall of hair. And, you know, I understand what's happening. Your voice projects so much that it comes through my mic
in this studio. Okay, so you want me to get close and talk like this? Okay, I'll
absolutely.
If you could pump me up a little bit, I could do that.
Yeah, I'm going to patch up right
now.
All
right, perfect. There we go.
How's that?
That's much better.
See, that's better in your headset, but it's loud to everybody else. That's okay. I want you to feel good.
Well, I mean, to me, you're – okay, you could lower it. I'll just get close and I'll talk.
No. That's good.
We'll a little mouth.
We'll ask Joe.
I'll tell you, though, this setup is so impressive every time I come. And I say that and I pat myself on the back for that.
I have to thank you. Listen, I designed this place, though.
You did.
Let's face it.
You did a very good job.
All right, guys.
It's all a green screen.
It is. There's nothing here, man. Listen, guys, if you're new, obviously we're drinking a little bit tonight. Andrew Zarian, guys from Queens, live with me here in my studio in Los Angeles. And, of course, we have live in TBT Studios in Vancouver. Let's see if I can get this guy with the right number here. We have Joe Tillman. That's the wrong number. Joe, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I can't complain. You know, it's funny. We kind of thought we were just going to sit down and do the show. And then as soon as we started, the mic wasn't, you know, his mic wasn't working. Couldn't get the fucking lighting right on him.
Well, I got to say something. Listening to the intro before I came on, it's like, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
I love seeing you on camera, but the reason why you're even there is because it's not working.
What's not working?
Well, screwed up.
Well, right. Why do you think I'm in business?
Dude, it's called.
Every time I come here, I fix two things and I unplug another thing.
Mr. Coburn, it's going to cost you about $100 an hour and a flight out to L.A.
Yeah.
We'll get it fixed up for you.
How it works.
It's called timed obsolescence.
Timed, exactly.
That's what he does. All right, so let me see what you just set up some shots here. Let's see what this is. Okay, that's my side-by-side with Joe, and that's my side-by-side with you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let me get the phone number, guys. I'm sorry there's a little bit of a clusterfuck. 888-659-3727. If you are new to the program, don't know why I'm here and what we do, I am a consumer advocate for men and women dealing with hair loss. I'm the author of The Bald Truth and The Truth About Women's Hair Loss. I'm also the founder of the American Hair Loss Association and the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons. Excuse me. I know that sounds like a lot, but I've been doing this for a long time. I've been on the air in one form or another, either through terrestrial radio or XM satellite radio or on the internet for almost 20 years. And the reason I'm able to do the same show, and it is the same show, week in and week out for more than 20 years is because, you know, 2/3 of men by the age of 35 will suffer with some degree of hair loss. 30% of hair loss sufferers are women. This is a silent epidemic of, you know, this sounds like, you know, I'm being melodramatic, but of biblical proportions. Most people in every household, there's at least one person dealing with hair loss. It's a huge demographic. So I remember being on radio for a long time, and especially at the beginning. And, the program directors and the station managers and the you know, all the big wigs, no pun intended, at the radio stations were always like, how are you going to do a hair loss show for more than half an hour, maybe once every 2 months, if that's even possible? What are you going to talk about? Well, been here for 20 years, Joe. You know?
Yeah.
We've been here I've been here for 20 years. You've been calling the fucking show for almost 20 years.
Yeah, but before the show, you're actually sticking your head out the window and yelling. So it's been like 20 years and 6 months.
Do I have to give you a courtesy laugh for that? I really don't want to do that.
Come on.
But I mean, you touched on something interesting, because when I tell people what the show is, they're like, oh, there's a hair loss show. How much hair loss stuff can you talk about? And those same people listen to the show once, twice, three times, and then become regular listeners. And they're like, yeah, it's so much more than just, you know, I lost my hair. Okay.
Well, what it is, it's kind of like a, you know, it's a sense of community. You know, before the online world really took off, we had this program. This was the hair loss on-air community. This is what it's all about. So, hold on. What's going on? What's the matter? You got a problem? It's too dark? Guys, you know what we can do, because there's so much happening here? Let's go right to the phones. How do you feel about that, Joe?
I like it. Let's do it. Okay. There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
All right. Let's see who this is. And let's go. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
This is Nicole.
Hey, Nicole.
Nicole. Hey. I know this Nicole.
Hey, guys.
This is Nicole from Shapiro Medical?
This is Nicole from Shapiro Medical, yes.
How are you?
What's up, girl?
Good. Hey, guys. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, welcome. What can we do for you?
Well, I was just calling, first of all, to say happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
And to...
happy birthday.
God, thank you, guys.
Shit's getting real, Nicole, I tell you. 51. Can you believe that?
No, not at all.
Oh, thank you. I was fishing. You see that, Joe?
Good answer.
It worked. Yeah.
Never. I can never believe it.
All right.
So the rest of the evening goes smoother. Thank you.
To say thank you, I get a lot of people that I speak to that tell me that they learned that SMG did SMP from the two of you guys. So,
oh, that's great.
I say thank you for that. And then also, I've been in this industry for a long time, 7 years now. So I know there's lots of questions, lots of myths, lots of... stuff like that exists, so
I think there's stuff out there. And I appreciate that. I think the thing is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who are considering doing something about their hair loss, but they're not great candidates for hair transplantation, or they may be a good candidate for hair transplantation, but they don't have enough hair that could be moved to make the difference that they want to make. And that's where I think SMP is coming to play, at least in the hair transplantation world. And that's, I guess, what you're in part doing with Shapiro Medical, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have found a very great need for it, particularly with people who have tapped out of donor.
Yeah.
You know, and in instances of repair, it can be really great. And then also there's just that, you know, more. You can never have enough density.
Well, you guys are doing, at least now you're doing temporary SMP.
Yes, we are doing the trichopigmentation.
Right.
Which is extremely safe version of the SMP, because it's not anything that anybody's ever stuck with. It allows for lots of flexibility, and, you know, if it's something that in the future they choose to make changes, we can so do that.
What do you mean, Nicole? What do you mean people haven't stuck with it? What are you talking about?
Say that one more time.
You said S&P or trichopigmentation. A lot of people haven't stuck with it. What were you referring to?
Oh, no. It's nothing that they are stuck with. So if you go the permanent S&P, you know, route, and you get a result that maybe in time you'd like to change, your option is a laser, whereas this, you can gradually allow it to just disappear with time, and it doesn't allow for a lot of intrusive
Well, I'm going to be honest. I am not a huge fan of permanent SMP for that very reason. And I think that while there is some work, good work being done out there for sure, I think that if someone is going to give this a shot, the temporary version or the quasi-temporary version of trichopigmentation is really, again, a safer bet. You know, there's a way out. You know, it will eventually fade. And I don't think people really take that into consideration when they're going for this procedure. They think, you know what, they look at the before and after pictures or videos online and they, you know, they see a decent result from certain companies. But, you know, not all SMP is created equal. And if it's permanent, it's permanent.
Agreed. You know, there's a couple of myths that a huge one that I like to dispel with people is that there's really no such thing as permanent, going to have this the rest of my life, SMP.
Right.
If people are going somewhere and they're hearing, you know what, you're never going to have to touch this up. This is one time you have to get it for, you know, you'll have it forever. It's so easy. They can 100% expect that to change color. Our bodies are not designed to hold ink for the rest of our lives and have it look exactly the day, you know, as the day it was when it was implanted.
Right. Now, when you say change colors, you're talking about, you know, turning bluish,
blue,
turning green.
Yes, the blue.
So what about these guys? What about these companies that are claiming that they're using true blacks that never fade, that never turn blue? Is that a myth? Is that just a sales pitch?
Well, true black, I mean, according to the theory of color, the science of color, anything that's black in time that is fadable is going to turn blue.
Right.
It's just, that's just the way the color is made.
Right.
But there are companies that are using a black, but it is designed to fade, that it is turning more of a gray and just disappearing.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. But the consumer is not always understanding that SMP2 will need to be touched up. This isn't something they're going to have for forever.
But listen, I know that this is what you do. But
yeah.
I have seen so much bad SMP. I mean, recent stuff. There's actually I go to this deli in Woodland Hills, California, not too far from where I am. And there's a truck that hangs outside of this deli that has a big billboard promoting SMP that is being done in the back of a beauty salon in that same shopping center.
Oh,
and the guys that I see – and I just kind of like, you know, stake this place out. The guys that I see coming in and out of this place literally – I mean, they look like they literally have like their hairlines drawn on.
I know. There is a lot of bad SMP going on right now, and it's because it's – you know, a few people have learned and now they're teaching.
Yeah.
Or people are just, you know, thinking, oh, this is simple. I know permanent cosmetics or I know tattooing or, you know, I can just go in and get it done. And, you know, unfortunately, I see a lot of those people, Dr. Shapiro, we see a lot of those people for repair.
But Joe, you knew a lot about SMP.
Yeah.
And you know what my thoughts are in general. Like I chose to kind of no longer have an SMP area on the forum because, frankly, it was just becoming a spam fest. That's really what it was. And there were so many people out there that were just, you know, trying to kind of pimp their own, you know, companies. And it was just – it became very obvious that it wasn't really people looking for help. There were companies out there who were just trying to utilize the forum to you know, promote their services. Now, because you do SMP with Dr. Shapiro, obviously you guys can show your results in the IHRS section with his hair transplant results. But Joe, I mean, what do you think about? I mean, I told you about my decision. You think that was a smart move?
I think it was a smart move only because you know, the industry itself. As a whole, I personally think the S&P industry is worse than the hair transplant industry as far as the slime factor. And
oh, I can
say
tell
that
crazy. I came from there.
Yeah. I mean, Nicole knows what I'm talking about. And I think that your decision to shut down that section was doing everyone a service because, you know, not just yourself, but because it takes a lot of work to really moderate that section because you're constantly getting hit with the spam. You're constantly getting hit with the the fake posters trying to promote.
Look, if there are real people out there that are out there trying to just ask questions and interact with each other, I would have no problem with it. But that wasn't the case. You know, you had similar guys that were going from forum to forum to forum, promoting certain companies. And it's like, guys, give us a fucking break.
Well, it wasn't just promoting certain companies. They're also going to different websites and they were slamming their own competition.
Yeah.
They were coming to my website when I had the S&P Clinics website, which I no longer own.
Right.
They were coming on that site, and it wasn't a battle, but it was something I was doing on a regular basis to, you know, trying to clean it up, because they're coming in saying, you know, this clinic is horrible, and, you know, putting up fake pictures, and just it was just nasty. And then not to mention the communications I was getting behind the scenes from some of these companies, making threats and just all kinds of, you know, garbage that was coming out of their mouth. It's a bad scene, and I just didn't want anything to do with it.
I came from the world of permanent, and the things that I saw when I was, you know, behind the chair there was the reason that I left. So I know it all too well, and it's partially why, you know, on the forums I deal with all of, I don't know what they call them, shills, or people who work for companies who are blogging for them, posing as patients. It's been interesting to watch them, like, over the years, the tactics that they take, you know.
Well, tell us about some of the tactics. Tell us about, if you can, about some of your experience behind the scenes and working for these companies.
Yeah, well, you know, a few of the things I always like to tell my patients is when they're talking with reps, is to ask them, you know, how many times have you had your work lasered and changed and repaired?
Right.
That's one common thing, you know, like people will go in to see reps and, those people have had lots of R&D done on their heads. And right. What you see that day may have not been the one time that it was explained to happen, you know, to have happened. They worked at a company where their owner was had many, many laser treatments, and he always tried to stay out of sight because his head was constantly so terrible looking.
Wow.
I mean, that's,
that's scary.
All, you know, the other thing is to talk about what type of pigments that the company is using and how long they've been using them. I worked for and have known many people who they would try new pigments on patients without trying them on themselves first. And then the patient had to, you know, compensate for the poor results.
Wow.
They were almost like human science experiments. Yeah, very scary stuff.
Well, but the thing is, the way that S&P is being promoted is it's just an easy fix. If you are willing to walk around with a shaved scalp look, you know, like shaved to the, you know, almost to the bone, with just kind of like a stubble look, then this is a solution for hair loss. And I have to say that, you know, that's another reason why I'm like, you know what, I can't. There are ethical practitioners like yourself. And then there are those out there that might be trying to take advantage of vulnerable hair loss sufferers. So
absolutely.
I kind of chose to just step away from it completely.
Yeah, I see where that totally why you did that. I'm living that world with the rest of them each day. And I get frustrated constantly. And that's why I also like people to know that there are those of us out there that are ethical and who will tell them the truth. We don't accept a lot of patients for exactly what you just said, is a lot of people come in and they've been told, well, if you just shave your head, this is such a simple, easy solution. And the reality is most people don't want to have a shaved head the rest of their life.
Right. And also the reality is you're tattooing your head. You know, you have to kind of put that into perspective.
You got to accept that. You're tattooing your head.
Yeah.
In essence.
So, I mean, I could see, you know, if you're going in, you're filling in, you know, transplanted areas, or you are trying to use it as underground, like Joe did for a while, so that he didn't have to use Duramatch or whatever. I'm sure that if I called Ron or called you and I said, hey, listen, I want to get it done, I can get on a plane, you'd hook me up and we'd put it on camera.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you. You know, but the thing
the
is,
power, baby.
I'd rather, for me, just continue to paint my head than to have to keep going back and getting this thing redone.
That's where I tell everybody: you have to weigh out the pros and cons. But and the thing with trichopigmentation is that there's some travel, there's maintenance, there's all that stuff involved.
Right.
And for some people, it's just not worth it. It's just not. It's too much of a hassle. And that we get to. you know.
Well, I like the fact that you're calling in and you're admitting, and because this is what you do, that this is not a one size fits all situation. It's not right for everybody, you turn away a lot of people.
And that's the thing about Nicole. She's been, you know, in this field of S&P. She's been a really bright beacon of education as far as that goes. She's really been honest about it. She's always been straight up and honest about, you know, what is involved in the procedure and that it's not a one size fits all. And she's really, you know, she's really been doing what she can to learn as much as possible about the intricacies of this specific type of S&P trichopigmentation compared to what she was doing with a permanent type. And so, you know, she's been a real asset to Ron and the team at SMG. And when I was there in February visiting SMG for my review of my documentary film shooting, one of her patients had shown up. I'd actually been talking to him before he arrived. I didn't realize, I don't know if I told you this, Nicole, I didn't realize he was actually going to be there at the same time I was. And
yeah, I couldn't remember if I told you or not that he was going to be there.
Yeah, but it was nice to see him, and he had actually had the permanent S&P, and he had multiple laser sessions to have it removed. And then when I was there, he was there for, that was his third session with you, I think, or second?
Yep. Third.
Yeah.
Yep.
Third. Yeah. It was his final pass, and he looked fantastic, and the guy was happy, and you know, he had done his research, and he realized what was necessary, and you know, Nicole hooked him up. It was a great transformation.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe, for all of that.
Well, listen. I think it is a reasonable procedure to have if you're the right candidate, you have realistic expectations, and in my view, if you are using trichopigmentation and, you know, really have the ability to kind of get out without having to get it lasered off. And,
mm-hmm.
that's just my opinion. Joe, I don't know if you agree with that 100%.
I'm sorry, the full opinion was what?
the full opinion is I am more of a fan of trichopigmentation than of anything permanent.
Yeah, of course. It's
even though it's not really permanent – you know, people are still going to have to deal with the dying of the color and just turning blue, or even these blacks that are turning gray. It's still a whole weird transition.
Well, we can call it the less permanent of the options out there. But
hold on, I think Andrew's going to take the pill.
The permanent S&P, it's not permanent. It morphs. Our skin isn't permanent, so you know the ink's not going to be permanent. So it only makes sense when you break it down that. Yeah, I mean, all S&P, no matter what kind of form you get, is going to need some sort of touch-up.
It's going to need some kind of touch-up or some kind of maintenance. It just, you can't get around it.
Well, listen, Nicole, it's nice to have a true expert on to kind of tell it like it is. Is there anything you want to leave anybody before we take another call? You want to leave these guys with any information about yourself and kind of like last thoughts on what to watch out for?
Oh, you know, my last thoughts on what to watch out for at this point are just, people need to do their research. They need to. It's technician over really anything at this point, because there are so many companies and so many franchises and so many just pop-ups that are coming up that really experience does matter. Time with patients does matter. But the biggest thing is, what are they going to do to take care of you if it doesn't turn out?
Yeah.
Which is a really ugly question to have to go into a procedure with, but it mm-hmm. really has to be at the top of the list of, if I'm unhappy, then what? That's,
exactly.
I guess, my biggest word.
Well, they certainly won't put you on YouTube if you're unhappy, And
know.
but there are so many walking wounded from this procedure out there that, you know, people just you don't hear a lot about it, but I see them all the time.
And
I'm
I want
like,
those people to call me. That's the other thing. I want those people to call me. If there's people out there that are walking wounded, there is hope that exists. They just need to get in touch with the right people and have them give them some correct direction.
All right. So, Nicole, so they can contact you at Shapiro Medical, right?
Contact me at Shapiro.
Okay.
And call the front office. They will get them in touch with me or email me or... I'm on the forums, so.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so they can find you on Bald Truth Talk for sure, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Nicole, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in. And I know you keep saying that you were going to call in, and you did.
No,
I'm glad you called on for my birthday.
I did. Happy birthday. And thanks so much for having me. It's nice to talk to you, Joe, as always.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
All right. You have a good night. Thanks a lot.
Yep, you guys too.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. 888-659-3727. And I just want to make it clear that there is certainly a place for some guys to have SMP. There are guys who are just stripped out. They are, you know, grafted out. They just don't have enough, you know, hair to cover scars and things like that. I think it's very reasonable to consider it when you are in that type of a situation. And for some guys, it could work as a kind of full shadowing effect. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I would tell guys to avoid it if they can in general. And then, you know, really, if they decide to do it, I would only go with the temporary stuff.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't think that S&P is any form of S&P, even trichopigmentation. I don't think it's the answer for the long term as a solution. I don't think it's something that someone should be doing for 10 to 15 years and it's not because of the way it might look or anything like that. It's because it's another one of those things that you get trapped into having to do.
Yeah.
I like simplicity, you know, it's like,
I would go to Andrew, but he's not even listening.
Is he asleep? Is he drooling?
No, he went down. I was trying to get it back.
Oh, it went down. Cool.
But no, I think that, you know, 5 to 10 years, if you want to go in and get it touched up every once in a while, that's fine. But I like the simple solutions to where you accept it and not have to go through something like that. Or, you know, like in my case, a hair transplantation and pop a pill every couple of days. Easy. You know,
yeah.
And same with you. You know, you do what you do. You pop a pill every once in a while.
And I pain my head.
I just popped the pill right now while we were on.
Andrew just popped the pill right now.
Yeah.
And I got to say, you know, I'm sure that Andrew's hair looks good.
Yeah.
But there's a lighting issue we need to discuss.
Yeah. We didn't have
that
time.
Well.
Does it actually look that good?
It actually looks better than that. It looks better in person than it does in that light.
I think it's a trick.
It doesn't do it justice.
Put
your head towards the light, Andrew.
You want me to take this off?
No, yeah, just put it towards the lamp right next to you. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
Wow.
Is that ridiculous?
It is ridiculous.
And he was becoming a Norwood before.
You know what's so funny? My mother, which is one of these people that are like, oh, there's nothing ever wrong with you. You know, she's like one of those. Somebody at my birthday party asked me about Propecia. Which is something I'm very happy to discuss at all times.
Yes.
Especially when you're turning 32 and someone's like, oh, so were you really losing your hair?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Let me show you a picture. I showed my mother a picture of when we went to Vegas.
Yeah.
That trip to Vegas. It's Jess and me by the pool. And I showed her the picture. She goes, oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, oh, wow. And Jess's grandmother came at that point and she asked me, she's like, oh, wow, your hair looked not so good. I go, no.
It's nice.
And then she said, let me ask you, are there any side effects?
Yeah, that's what
I said. Are you asking me if my dick's working? Because it is.
Right. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Everything's fine. And no side effects.
My dick is working, Mom.
Yeah. Mom.
But you know that after this broadcast that you're going to get a lot of shit just for saying Propecia work for me.
Right. They're the loons. They're the crazy people from Europe.
Well, we are not allowed to – we are not allowed to talk about our positive experience on the drug.
Why? It's baffling, right? I mean, all these people that are screaming about Propecia being chemical castration and all this BS about it. Fine. There's nobody that will deny that that this is 100% safe drug. For some people, there are side effects. For some people, there are severe side effects.
Right.
And it is horrible that those people are going through it. But if you go online, you're reading this, and you're a young guy, you're 20 years old, you're losing your hair, it's so irresponsible of these lunatics to go and to put the fear of impotence and the fear of just total life-altering side effects when the odds of you suffering from this are very little.
Well, I would say the odds are probably as great as you having like anaphylactic shock from aspirin. Or maybe, you know, maybe quite, you know, it depends. I, you know, listen, according to Merck, it was about a little less than 2% of the guys who taking the drug during clinical trials.
And by the way, that was not Propecia.
That was Propecia, yeah. Proscar was 5%.
Proscar was 5%, yeah. Was 5%.
But I know it's real. These guys contact me. You know, there's definitely a subset of guys who are dealing with this for sure. But it's kind of like, you know, women who have unfortunately had blood clots or
birth control.
Or sexual dysfunction, which could be permanent.
Yeah, for all
women.
These dudes that are going and screaming online about this stuff, I guarantee you they're not telling their girlfriends to go off the pill.
No.
Which is far worse and is ruining women.
Yes.
There was an article I was reading how the state of marriage in westernized culture is falling apart, and part of it is due to the birth control.
Because women are losing their libidos.
They're losing their libidos, and they're totally not who they are. They're not attracted to the same people they normally would have been attracted to. It's screwing them up totally hormonally.
Well, their pheromones also are changing, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And we are totally fine with that because, you know, it's not a dude with dick issues.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, there's so many women, if you go online, and I've done the research, who a much larger percentage who are dealing with sex. What is that noise? Is that my cat? Dealing with
see the common law of the cat.
Yeah. Dealing with really severe sexual dysfunction. They're having orgasm, you know, problems with achieving orgasms. They cannot become lubricated. All this stuff. And I'm talking about women who have stopped using the pill for years. That is never really talked about. You don't see too many lawsuits about that. But when it comes to guys' dicks, man. You know, if 10 guys can get together and all of a sudden there's a class action suit.
It's crazy, but I always tell people, you will always read about the side effects. It's rare for you to read, but the first thing for you to discover are the pros and how this medication has helped so many people. Look at me. I'm the first to tell you when something is affecting me.
Dude, I just turned 51.
Yeah.
I started balding at 21.
Like, I'm one of these people that believes that my cell phone's going to give me cancer in a couple of years. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not.
I just got the iWatch, and I'm like,
I know.
Oh, yeah, I really appreciate it.
Well, that's
and
what
in,
you
my,
asked
my,
me.
In my mind, I'm like, I'm going to get wrist cancer.
Yeah, that's what you just asked me. Like, oh, now you're going to get wrist cancer.
Yeah.
So when I tell people about my success with this medication, they're astonished. They don't. It's almost like they don't believe me because of all the negative publicity.
But do they glance down at your junk?
Yeah, sometimes they grab and they're like, oh, let me feel it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. Once in a while.
I start talking about it more.
Yeah. Once in a while.
Yeah, but
just grabbing
it. These are dudes.
These are all dudes. They're not broads.
That's the problem.
Never mind.
Guys, 888-659-3727. Let's see who this is. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, how are you doing? My name is John. I'm from New York. How's it going?
Hey, John from New York. How are you?
I wanted to call in with some rather encouraging news.
Yes.
So I am just about almost to the day, 6 months out of my second hair transplant procedure that I had performed by Dr. Carlos Wesley.
All right.
The first one I had was about 10 years ago with another IHRS doctor who I could mention. I'm going to choose not to, and you'll understand the context.
Sure.
So he did an absolutely spectacular job, the first doctor. Great job. Terrific stuff. And then about, you know, as he kind of predicted almost to the year, you know, about 8 years later, the transplant started to kind of, I suppose what happened was, the native hair that I had existing at the time, you know, of course nature took its course and that began to fall out. So the transplanted hair is like, well, more of my scalp started to show. I don't know what the terminology is for it, but.
Well, your native hair started to recede or started to fall out. And
that's correct.
Yeah. That's. Unless you're taking medication,
I have been religiously taking Proscar, you know, even before that procedure. I've been on it probably for, you know, 11, 12 years.
So you saw you continued to progress even though you were on Proscar.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it happens.
And of course it happens, and I can only suspect, if I want to be optimistic about it, that it just slowed down the progression.
Right.
We'll take what we can get, I suppose.
Sure.
Yep.
So basically, so it was very much time for me to consider my, you know, a second transplant. As I knew inevitably, I mean, I was taking a gamble and hoping that something better would come along, you know, given a 10-year period, but not particularly. So one of the things that was really causing me a major amount of anxiety of doing this second procedure, as much as I wanted it to happen, as much as I was confident that I would get good results again, you know, I had every option of going back to my original doctor.
Strip
scar. Who's still practicing, you know, to this day.
You were concerned about another strip.
I was concerned about how the hell am I going to go face my coworkers. Two weeks after a procedure. Now, when I got my first procedure, I was kind of, I was like 1 week left of a job that I had that I totally hated, and I didn't relate to anybody, and I hardly knew anybody. And going back there, you know, with the buzz cut, I took like 2 weeks off, you know,
right.
But still, you know, there's some appearance going on there. But I had 1 week left with this company, and then I would start with this new company. Nobody really knew me, so it was kind of like, who cares? You know, it wasn't a huge deal.
It was identical to one of my sessions.
I see. So the company that I'm at now, you know, when I had this procedure done, I've been there for about three years and change. Pretty high-profile position in this company, large company. I don't have a position where I have the luxury of hiding in a cubicle all day, let's just say that.
Right.
I'm also a manager, so I have to carry a level of respect and confidence and self-assuredness and that sort of thing, you know, that I could take things on the chin, that sort of stuff. And I just could not for the life of me get over, you know, how am I going to walk into work, you know, that first day with my hair pretty much completely buzzed, and clearly a suspicious shade of light red, you know, all throughout my recipient area.
Now, you think that if you admitted that you were going in for a hair transplant, that you were going to look weaker in your position and somebody who, you know, is just too overly concerned about their appearance?
Spencer, I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I understand that.
That's common.
I'll be honest with that.
You know, for me, this is my job. So I tell the world that I paint my head and I have a half a can of hairspray on. That's, you know, so, you know, when I speak about my life and when I'm in public or, you know, in a social situation, I talk about an issue that most people would consider to be vain, unfortunately, and I kind of put it into perspective for people, especially women.
Well, sure. You know, and one of the, in addition to that is also, I just did not want to spend the next 6 months with all these people who I interact with throughout the day, you know, staring at my head, staring at my forehead, trying to monitor their progress. You know, I don't want everybody's eyeballs on my head. You know, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, and you know, I didn't think there was going to be some sort of horrible scenario where, you know, people were going to back me in the corner and slow motion and point their fingers at me and all of them laugh. You know, I didn't, you know, but still, I was just like, I do not want to effing deal with that. You know, I don't want to think about it, and I don't want my coworkers to think about it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So it was something that it was really like, you know, I wanted to take the plunge.
How old are you now?
I am 43.
Okay.
I wanted to take the plunge, but I just could not get over that, you know, that what I consider to be a very significant aspect. And I think a lot of people considering this probably feel the same way. So I went to my original doctor and had a consultation with him, and then he was glad to see me, and I thanked him for, you know, his original work. But he certainly made it clear that he had every intention that, I was going to have my head shaved again.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of crossing my fingers that he moved away from that, but nevertheless. So that was slightly discouraging.
So you're in New York?
Yes, sir.
And this is, last name starts with an F.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I found Dr. Wesley through the IHRS list.
Yeah, that Dr. F. I mean, there's no getting around that for him. It's like it's either my way or the highway, and if you don't want to do it, you got to go someplace else.
I suppose you're right. Yeah, I suppose you're right about that. So I was, you know, I don't know if Wesley was on your list 10 years ago, but nevertheless, you know, he was on.
He wasn't doing hair transplants 10 years ago,
I didn't think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? So I figured, well, let me kind of, you know, see what his story is. And one of the things that really did gravitate me to him was, first of all, he's on that list. And by the way, thank you for that list. That list is like, you know, second to maybe Schindler's List as far as the life that has been saved.
Oh my God.
I mean, that thing is like, you know, it is gold. It is absolutely.
Wait, repeat that again for a soundbite.
Because that list,
go ahead.
Second only to Schindler's List in terms of saving lives.
What list is that?
So I went to this Dr. Wesley. And because I kind of saw on his website a little bit that he does not require his patients to shave the recipient area.
That's correct.
And I was a little skeptical about that because I have been hearing, you know, in my experience and my research way back then, that was basically standard fare, that you got to get your hair buzzed. That's all there is to it. And I think even like Specs, who I have a lot of respect for, kind of swears by that as well. So I went in to visit with Dr. Wesley for the initial consultation. He confirmed that I will not have to shave my recipient area. And he gave a couple of reasons for it, which I don't want to like misquote him or anything like that, so I'm not going to really repeat them out loud, but they seem to kind of sort of make sense.
Yeah, you have to understand that even though this is hair transplantation, believe it or not, it is still the practice of medicine. And when you think about what does it mean, the practice of medicine, every practitioner, even though there are certain standards, will practice medicine slightly differently. Each surgeon has their own set of nuances and their own experiences where, you know, one surgeon will tell you this is impossible and another surgeon will say, I could do it, and they do it. So it's not uncommon, in my view, for this to happen in kind of every realm of surgery and every realm of medicine. And there are guys out there, like you said, who are staunch believers that the only way to get the best possible results is to shave your head. And then there are those, like Dr. Wesley, who believe differently, and they've proven that that's not the case.
Well, I was under the impression that it was just kind of across the board, especially the most respected doctors, particularly the ones who are on your list.
Well, I will say that, and Joe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you work for a couple of doctors who really believe in that as well. But I think it makes it easier when you can see the entire field, mm-hmm. and it makes it the job. You know, more efficient. And, you know, somebody doesn't have to go in there and, like, you know, try to go in between every hair and be really careful, trying not to transect hairs and so on and so forth.
I was waiting for my opportunity to jump in because for years I actually towed that line that you have to shave. You know, just like Dr. F was telling you, I was saying the same thing.
This guy really gave me a good haircut today. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It does look good.
Thank you.
Yeah. But look, like Spencer said, I mean, there's a comfort level, and different doctors, different clinics will practice medicine. I've never liked that term, practice medicine, but they'll practice medicine in their own clinic a little bit different than the next guy. And there's
for a lot of these guys, unfortunately, are actually practicing.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some of them are practicing, but there's always been this division, at least over the past, I'd say 15 years of, you know, the smaller camp shave only, and then the larger camp, well, no, it's not necessary. Now, since I'm now out in the open and, you know, independent, doing my own thing, I'm seeing in these different clinics, not just the results, but I'm seeing how they're doing their transplantation in between existing hairs. And I'm not talking about small cases, 1,500 grafts. I'm talking about big cases, 3,000, 4,000 grafts. And it does simply speed up the process. But from what I've seen, I see how they're doing it. It's just personal preference.
That's exactly what it is.
There is no wrong way to do it.
That's exactly what it is. You're right. That's exactly what it is. And I think that, you know, yeah, there are doctors out there who they don't want to even deal with that. It's going to be too difficult of a day. And there are claims that, you know, you're going to get a better overall outcome. I've seen differently.
I wanted to help him out a little bit. So like a week before the procedure, I did get a haircut. And all this time I've been wearing my hair reasonably long with probably too much Duramatch and Topic in there.
You're preaching to the choir, dude.
There you go, exactly right. So a week before...
It looks like my head is dusted some days.
A week before the procedure, I got a haircut. I didn't like get what I would call a short haircut, but I didn't want to like totally F the guy up and go in there like a shaggy mess. You know, it's like I knew that the shorter my hair was, the less difficult it was going to be for him. But I also kept it long enough so that, you know, 2 weeks later when I went back to work, I at least had something to work with there. And he also told me that 10 days after the procedure, I can go back to wearing concealer again. You know, I went through the procedure, you know, there was no buzzing, no shaving involved. And when I went back to work, I had enough hair, and this is all in my frontal area, by the way. I had enough hair, and I was able to kind of, you know, safely put on concealer so that as far as I can tell, when I went back to work, nobody knew a thing. I had kind of a different.
Yeah, they're calling you Chalkhead in the around the water cooler, though. But whatever.
So basically, I had a slight, but I was, you know how we are. I was looking at people's eyeballs. I was seeing if they were traveling up there, and they really weren't, you know. And I just could not.
Dude, that's what alcohol is for. You got to forget about that.
Yeah, I suppose so. So basically, as far as I was concerned, that was nice. You know, I got back to work. Got back into the groove of things, and I figured, okay, so maybe I sort of at least pulled off the ruse. But, of course, I was still kind of thinking in the back of my mind, like, okay, you know, well, I didn't do what I suppose you're supposed to do, which is, you know, shave your head and stuff, and, you know, maybe Dr. Wesley was kind of trying to, you know, I didn't think he was getting me in the chair or anything like that, but, you know, you start thinking.
All right, so how many months ago was this?
This is 6 months ago.
Okay. Where are you at now?
It's a masterpiece.
Really?
And I know that anybody who's listening can only take my word for it because I'm not here with pictures or anything.
Right.
The stuff that it grew in, he uses something also called, I think it's called PRP, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think he soaked the follicles and something. Okay. So this stuff started to grow in like 3.5-4 months after the procedure. I couldn't believe it because the doctor after took about 5.5 months.
Right.
I got my first haircut 3.5 months out. You know, I really held out, and I was dreading it, this haircut. I walked out of that barbershop. I could not believe it. Like,
really?
Like, I would say maybe like at the 4 month mark. After this haircut, Spencer, I really could not. I'm sure I probably had a little bit of concealer on my head. I could not see my scalp anymore. And
that's an incredible feeling, man.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And 6 months later, you know, so here I am 6 months. And it's just, I mean, it looks natural. I know I've got more to go. I've got more to go, which is also very encouraging. But
now, we didn't ask you, did you have another strip procedure or did you have a FUE procedure?
Yes, Spencer, I had another strip.
Okay. Listen, you already have a scar. So,
exactly.
So,
that was my thing.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking me into anything else. You know, I mean, I guess if I pushed for FUE, he would have done it. But, so I had another strip.
I got to say, he's really good at what he does. I don't think Dr. Wesley gets the credit, in my view, that he deserves, especially on the boards. I mean, he's really good. And there's a lot of other guys in New York who get a lot of, you know, online press. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but, you know, while he's out there and he has his people out there on the message forums, I just don't think that he gets enough of this, of what you're doing for him right now, because his patients are really happy in general.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, when somebody does that for you, when a doctor does that for you in this field, it's like you got to kiss the guy's feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's rare. And I know that no matter what, you know, no matter who's on that list or who isn't, You're always taking a gamble. All of you guys have said that yourself many times.
Yeah, the list is just a starting point. We're like, okay, these guys have the least complaints and they have the most consistent results.
Right.
But there's not a doctor on that list, in my view, that hasn't fucked up somebody. That's just the way that it is. They're not doing it purposely, but it's just the way that it is. It's cosmetic surgery. There is somebody who is probably gone to every doctor, even maybe Dr. Wesley. I don't know. No one's complained to me yet. And may not have been satisfied with the results. Let's put it that way.
Right, right.
It happens.
So at the end of the day, I mean, I know no matter what, you know, I pat myself on the back for having common sense and doing the research and trying to be smart about it. But at the end of the day, I just got lucky. You know, I mean, I recognize that.
Well,
I think similarly, only because, you know, when you're looking at a consistency record or the lack thereof when you're doing your research, when you find a clinic that has a consistent record, there is a bit of luck because there are so many variables that are being juggled around, you know, not to mention the unknown healing aspect of every patient that comes in the door. I think there is a little bit of luck with this because you can't control every single aspect of every single surgery 100%. So a lot of it is, you know, just do it right as much as you can. And, you know, if everything works like everything before, then it should work out just fine. And that's where those fuck-ups come from. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Right, Joe, right. And it's a bit scary doing the same procedure 10 years later. You're 10 years older. You know, your body is doing things differently. Your body's responding to things differently. You know, however, it went well 10 years ago, there's no guarantee 10 years later that you know, your body's going to do the exact same thing and react the same way.
Not to mention, you're going with a different doctor, right? You had a good experience earlier with Dr. F.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, it's like knowing what I know. If I had a great experience with a doctor.
Now, why do we even call? I mean, at this point, I thought he was going to say something negative, but I mean, the fact that he's not, I mean, there's Dr. Feller. He had a good experience with Dr. Feller. Why can't we say that?
Okay, you're right. I didn't want to, you know, I don't want anybody to, like, you know, get turned off because, you know, the shave.
Everyone knows he's a head shaver. That's his thing. It's like his way or the highway, and I get it. But you know what? The bottom line is people who go to see him have, in general, excellent results, just like you did.
And if they don't know about the shaved head now, they'll know when they get there anyway.
That's right.
Maybe we're doing people a favor.
I paid him as high a compliment as I possibly could when I saw him, you know, for this round of consultation. But
you know what? You know what he would really appreciate as a higher compliment? Writing him a check and having surgery with him. But, you know, it's just the way it is, man, you know? No, but in real, listen, you had to make a decision based on your current circumstances.
Right.
And you obviously made the right decision. Andrew, I'll be with you in a minute.
God, the Schindler's List comment messed me up. All I could think about is the girl in the red coat.
Oh, that scene. sticks out in my mind, too.
Screwed me up.
That's the first thing that popped in my mind. That's so weird.
So did you have a strip with Dr. Wesley that was the same size, bigger or smaller than with Dr. Feller?
You mean in terms of number of grafts?
Yeah.
It was slightly smaller, actually. I had just under 1,900. Around 1,900. But with Feller, I had 2,300.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, man, I'm glad you had such a great experience. I think it's, you know, we get so many guys who call in or who the guys that take the time to post on the internet are usually, in general, unhappy people. When the happy people call in, it really makes my day because I know there's so much great work being done out there. There's so many people being helped by what we do and by, you know, the doctors who we are affiliated with. A lot of people don't like that word, but Joe knows what I'm talking about. But you're one of them. You know, you're a guy who, you know, you're two for two, man.
Well, Spencer, I'll tell you, I'm not much of a virtue signaler, but I told myself that if this turns out well, that I have every option of riding off into the glory of sunset and never thinking about this again for the next several years, shall we say.
Right.
I told myself that the least I could do is call back into the show when I really have zero reason to anymore and just thank both you and Joe for the amazing advice that you've given so many people and that I took in and that really helped me make this decision. And to also just kind of like, you know, say out loud to any listeners who are having hard times, whether they're considering this procedure or not, that, you know, you can really turn things around. And I just kind of wanted to, before I enjoy this, what's going to be an amazing summer, you know, where I'm going to be looking at the mirror like an asshole every 5 minutes, there's really an opportunity to turn things around for yourself. And you know, it could work out well, and it worked out for me, and I hope it works out for, you know, most of your listeners as well. So that's what I really want to say about that.
Listen, man, that's an important message, and I really – it's very well said, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in to help other people. Because like you said, you could have just walked off into the sunset and said, fuck it. You know, I got mine, and that's it.
Right.
And I really appreciate this.
I'm glad that you do. And thank you guys for everything, and I hope to be in touch. And happy birthday once again.
Oh, thank you. And what's your name again?
My name's John.
John, thanks so much for the call, man.
Thanks for calling.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Okay. Have a great evening.
Thanks a lot. 888-659-3727. People are complaining that there's not enough Zarian. But the thing is, Zarian came in here today. He could have set up a three shot, but he chose not to do that. I would have loved that.
Listen, I'm not working today. I flew 3,000 miles.
Can I speak into the mic, please?
I'm talking. I'm not loud enough.
No.
Have you done this before?
Wow, that's a first. That's a first.
No, I think there's something wrong with this mic processor.
I got to fix this tomorrow.
Yeah. But you need to. To speak directly into the mic. That's what Mike Phillips would tell you, by the way.
Yeah. Speak directly. Like a flashlight.
Like a flashlight.
Yeah, hold the flashlight.
Like yeah. That. Or like something else.
Something else.
You know what to do.
A flashlight.
888-659-3727. Let's see who this is. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from? Hello? Hey, man. Did someone butt dial me? We could hear you. You can hear us. I'll give you a couple more seconds to see if you can.
I want to hear what's going on there.
Yeah,
I know.
I hung up.
All right, guys. 888-659-3727. Sexy Zarian. Mm. He is back.
I'm back.
He's back in Los Angeles.
I'm back.
We're gonna have him. We're gonna take live shit on Facebook. He's gonna be tanning by the pool.
My wife already posted. She wants to know if we're having chicken.
We're not having chicken tonight.
Tomorrow.
We're going to get some steak tonight.
Okay, cool.
And by the way, if you're listening, the guy, what does he call himself? Does he call himself Brian from Los Angeles?
Oh, Brian. Yeah. I think so.
If you're listening, we're going to be at your place tonight. So get your shit together. And by the way, thanks for defriending me on Facebook.
Why did he defriend you?
I think it was a mistake, I'm hoping.
No, he got pissed.
I think maybe what happened was I said that I may be having a party at the facility, at the restaurant that he works at.
You didn't tell.
And I didn't. No, I didn't make it happen. So he got me in touch with the banquet manager, and I just never called.
Oh, you were planning a party.
I was considering it.
Oh, man, I would not have liked that. I like you all to myself.
No. It wasn't going to be a birthday party. It was a coming out party, so to speak.
Oh, coming out.
Yeah. And I'll explain that to you guys when I feel like it. 888-659.
Keep them guessing.
3727 is a toll-free number.
I thought it was a party for me.
Yeah, it is in a sense.
Oh.
It is in a sense. It's my number party, and I don't want to explain what that means.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm sitting here, Ralph's Fried Chicken, that's so funny.
Who wrote that? Who knew?
Somebody knew.
See something new.
I think maybe one of your brothers might be in a chat room.
No, they don't know about Ralph's.
They don't?
No. God damn, that Ralph's Fried Chicken is good.
TBT, viewer 5194.
Is that the chicken you're telling me about?
Yeah, dude, it is. It is, I'm not even joking, good. It is probably the best. I mean, it's better than in my view. In my opinion, please don't write me a letter, KFC. It's better than KFC.
Oh, way better than KFC.
KFC now has this
I have a hard time believing that.
KFC has this doughy taste now. It almost tastes like donuts.
Like corn. They all have really like this weird corn, like a corn mill
You know, I heard that the colonel, the real colonel, was out of his fucking mind. I don't know if that's true.
Well, he was like 60 when he started making his money.
Yeah, but I heard he was like allegedly a real womanizer.
Of course he was.
And he was just like a total, like he sold the recipe for like $1 million apparently.
Yeah.
And then he was upset. And he wanted more money.
Well,
you know something.
You know how he was doing it, right? He was going to gas stations
and
franchising the recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he would like literally show up in a plastic bag and just hand you the seasoning.
That's awesome.
And teach you how to do it. And he took a piece of every sale of chicken you did.
That is awesome.
What a noise.
I love their new advertising. They have like different actors playing the colonel.
Yeah, every week. I want the original colonel. I want the colonel from the 80s. The guy that looked like the biggest racist. That's what I want.
But wasn't the real colonel on at one point or no?
No.
He was always an actor.
He was long gone. That guy.
Interesting.
No, didn't they have, like in the 70s, I thought they had him in the original commercials.
I have no idea. I mean, was that really Ronald McDonald? Was that the real Ronald McDonald?
Well, I mean, it's quite possible because he died in 1980, so.
How do you even know this? Or are you looking it up?
I know everything. I know every useless fact.
And is that guy with the big head the real Jack?
The Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
That's him.
He really looks like that.
He looks like that. Dude, I'm telling you, since they stopped that campaign and Jack became silent, the voice of Jack is no longer there, their sales are tanking.
You know, we had Jack in a Box in New York for years.
Rodney Allen Rippey, you're probably too young to remember that.
No, I have no idea who that
is.
Yeah,
he was the face of Jack in the Box, little African-American actor.
And they every one of them is gone. Sal Manila. No, it was the E. coli breakout.
Well, that was actually recently. That was what is that?
Chipotle.
Yeah.
I won't eat there.
Well, that's where we're going tonight, dude.
That's where we're headed. We're going to Chipotle.
That's where the party is.
All right, we're only going to stay on. We're actually going to kind of leave early tonight. But I wanted to, and Andrew, if you don't mind if I speak to Joe for a second,
no, go ahead. I'll leave the room. I'll let you guys be.
It's up to you. You can stay.
Stick around.
I wouldn't put the headphones on because it will mess up your hair.
Do you see what's happening?
No.
I need to go respray.
Dude, it is like a bouffant. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable. Like, I wish I could comb it straight back like that.
What did you call me the other day? What did you write? Whose hair was it like? You wrote something on Facebook.
Oh, Tony Manero.
Yeah.
I'm Saturday Night Fever. Fucking awesome. And I, you know what? I think it's important that, you know, let people look at you. Look at that.
Let people look at me.
Look at that
hair. I'm all bloated up today. Today's not a good day. I just flew.
You don't look bloated.
My fingers are swollen like Ron Knight's.
Maybe you're, fucking Ron. He's still alive. He's still alive.
He lost it on me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He thinks I'm like a made up character on the internet that's attacking him. He's losing his mind.
You are a made up character on the internet. Yeah.
Well, is this wrestling stuff that you talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm talking about?
He's got this whole wrestling gimmick thing happening.
Yeah, Treehouse Vince.
I need to tune in more.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wanted to talk about one thing. And I think it's important that we talk about this week, Joe, because a lot of things happened this week. And I am, like I said, I'm going through like a midlife crisis, or I'm getting to a point in my career and my life where I'm just like, you know what? Something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about how the dumbing down of the internet, what's happening in the industry, how it's becoming a more dangerous place, frankly, than it ever has been.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad before the Bald Truth. And I have to – listen, I'm going to give myself props. The Bald Truth changed everything. The Bald Truth was the catalyst for all the change in this industry. I got to give myself the respect that I deserve. But that lasted for like 8 years, 9 years, 10 years.
You were the original source for doctors losing their damn minds online.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was late 90s, right?
Yeah. I was the guy that, everyone was like, we have to kill this person.
Pretty much.
He is telling the truth about the industry. He's exposing the fact that the emperor has no clothes. And it was a big deal. You know, we made a significant change early on. Like, I would say within about a 24-month period from the time that my book was published in 1998, the first book, and I got on the radio, which was around the same time, not too long after the book was published, all of a sudden, you know, everyone's getting microscopes for their practice. Follicular unit transplantation was the gold standard, and I pushed that gold standard, and it changed everything.
Yeah.
Then, unfortunately or fortunately, I was introduced to an Australian doctor who – or he introduced himself to me, and I saw this procedure, and I was like, holy shit, this is fascinating.
He didn't introduce himself to you. He tracked you down.
He did. He tracked me down. Actually, he tracked me down to like Los Angeles, and I wasn't living in Los Angeles at the time.
You were just – yeah, you were just – you had a hotel room. You were in for just a few days.
Absolutely. I picked up the phone, and it was this guy with this crazy Australian accent telling me that he has this method of hair transplantation that's going to change everything – and that no one was giving him the time of day. He tried to speak to Bobby Limmer and these people and the ISHRS, and everyone just ignored him. And I was really his only hope to get this information out to the mainstream and to get his procedure out to the world. I'm like, all right, I'm listening. And he said, I want to fly in. I want to show you this, that, and the other. I said, don't bother. You don't have to get on a plane to show me anything. I said, send me some information. Send me maybe a videotape. And then eventually, you know, I can meet one of your patients. So trying to make a long story short, he sent me this videotape that looked like it was like old school, like produced on like a video toaster. I don't know if you remember that those days. And it was just like all these swipes and all this stuff. And I was like – I couldn't even look at the work. It was just so, in my view, kind of like low end, not well produced, cheesy. Right. I told him that. I said, listen, just for your benefit, you need to know this. That's when I should have run. That's when I should have known. The guy got so fucking offended that I told him about his
production values.
Cheesy production values, and that you really, you know, this seems like a really interesting technique. You're only cheapening what you're doing. He didn't take that as constructive criticism. To make a long story short, we all know the story of FUE.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the history of FUE has been rewritten many, many times.
Yes.
They leave out this one North American physician who actually was the first to say, you know what, I'm going to try this. And I walked him through the technique that I was walked through. And if it wasn't for this guy, I don't even mention his name for several reasons, but then a lot of the other guys wouldn't have, you know, Bill Raspin, Bob Bernstein, they wouldn't have taken the time to really take me seriously. So anyway, fast forward to 2016. It's all FUE all the time now, except companies and organizations and physicians are doing whatever they can to make the process basically much easier for themselves and really not really be too involved in the process.
Yeah.
They're hiring what some term to be slave laborers in certain parts of the world. To perform these surgeries. Mm-hmm. Here in the U.S., it's happening as well. Everyone's creating some sort of a device or this and that and claiming that they're doing FUE better than the next guy. And I got to tell you, it's a fucking mess. It really is a mess. So I've decided I have to take a stronger stand this year. And that's one reason why I'm so interested in the standardization of the field and robotic hair transplantation. But I am considering, and I've spoken to you about this, taking a closer look at the IHRS, the Schindler's List for hair transplant patients, as this guy put it.
I love that. That was great.
And I'm gonna whittle it down a little bit. There's a couple of things that are disturbing me, things that are happening, and maybe the wool has been pulled over my eyes by some of these guys. It was much easier for me to make these decisions back in the day when it was just straightforward. You're either doing follicular unit transplantation with the use of microscopic dissection, using these tools with, this type of staff, and that was it. And everyone else was doing shittier work. It was much easier. They were doing mini and micros.
There's a wider divide between what could be considered state-of-the-art and what wasn't.
Right.
And there are so few people doing state-of-the-art follicular unit transplantation. It was easier for you to make that distinction.
Yeah.
But now we have this dilution of the market where everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone's doing follicular unit extraction, be it through a neograft, some sort of handheld motorized device, some sort of manual punch device, or some mystery device that, you know, the clinic won't reveal what it is.
Well, that's the craziest thing in the world. If you are not going to reveal the tools that you use, believe me, no one's going to. I mean, the guy that does that is at this point, unfortunately, just a footnote in the history of FUE.
At best, he's a footnote.
And that's because of the way that he's behaved and the fact that he didn't really – it's unfortunate. I think he really should have stepped up and done what you're supposed to do in medicine, and you share your technique. He could have maybe gotten a licensing fee or something where he would have been a very wealthy man at this point.
And
he would have probably saved a lot of people.
But he would have still been in a position where he can say doctor only, you know, limited number of grafts per day, done the right way.
Right. It would have changed everything.
It actually could have been almost like the beauty medical model, where every practitioner for trichopigmentation has been personally trained by Milena Lardi.
Right.
And it works. It's a mark of excellence. It's a mark of quality. And had he done the same thing without charging an arm and a leg, he'd be in a much different position right now.
Well, you know what's funny? And I don't want to go back in history. It doesn't make a difference. But, you know, like I talked about how he reacted to my criticism of his video.
Mm-hmm.
He did, something very interesting online when he actually wrote something very negative about me when we were having a conversation, basically saying that I was the one who priced him out of the box and it was my suggestion that he charge this much for this much. Totally, in my view, that was kind of like another red flag. Like, it appeared to be the rants of someone who I don't want to defame the guy, but potentially defame the guy, but someone who really just didn't necessarily get it. Let's put it that way.
That's a good way.
My view was charge $5,000, $10,000, you know, to train somebody, or charge a licensing fee, mm-hmm. and you'll have people knocking down your doors. And basically, hair transplantation, the FUE technique, would have been known as the Woods technique. I just mentioned his name, the Woods technique.
Oops,
you know.
Yeah,
and
no,
you know,
that's true.
He wouldn't be on message forums, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, banging away and, you know, working his balls off the way that he is right now. He'd probably, in my view, sadly, the information created a lot of monsters out there. Just the fact that they knew that consumers wanted this. They weren't sure how to do it. So they said, we're going to recreate the wheel and do it ourselves.
And take the credit for it.
And take the – well, yes. Well, there are a couple of doctors. I'm going to say that Rassman and Bernstein, they went into it very slowly. They didn't do, you know, large sessions. They weren't doing body hair and all that stuff. They started with the Fox technique. Mm-hmm. You know, they wrote the first paper, which I think was really important that it was put out there. This is something that Dr. Woods should have done himself.
Right.
So I can't say that for Bernstein and Rassman. But then there were other doctors who jumped on it and just decided to totally convert their practices and then really start to, you know, pander to hair transplant forum people and try to get their message out there online. And there's a lot of damage, a lot of walking wounded from those days. And we're seeing that all over again now.
All over again.
And in my view, it started again with – not the machine itself. It's not because of the neograft. The neograft can be used well. It was the model that was created around the neograft that, you know, some enterprising people said, you know what, we can just get this machine and we could hire a bunch of people to do the work.
Yeah. Look, I told you before that I was flying back home from somewhere. This is, I forgot what year, maybe 2010-ish. And I saw the ad that I think I can say they've become famous for is the two heads, full page ad in Flight Magazine, which isn't cheap. Two heads side by side.
I saw it the last time when I went to Vegas. I saw the ad,
and it wasn't marketing for the result. It was marketing for one thing.
Right.
No strip scar.
That's right. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant and asinine at the same time.
Right. But the thing is, we understand the industry. The average consumer is like, it's like you're able to get a hair transplant without a scar now. This is fucking, we're in the future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how they feel. And that makes sense to me. You know, and honestly, I'm going to be completely candid. If I was their, president of marketing, I would be like, I can't add anything to this. It's perfect.
Yeah, there's nothing to add.
Yeah.
Nothing to add.
And you know, I'd actually fuck you up if you had me on board because I'd be like, you got to list all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a simplicity and the lack of information that made it so powerful.
Yeah.
Focus on the one thing, no strip scar, and let them assume everything else, which is all hair transplants are the same.
Right.
As far as the growth, the naturalness, density, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
And we all know that's not the case, but in their case, they nailed it. I mean, they literally knocked it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
And it still is the message they carry to this day.
It is I think it was the most powerful message and really created a really – and whoever – I mean, you got to pat yourself on the back, guys, because it created this a paradigm shift in this field.
Yeah.
And strip has gone by way of the dodo. New doctors are not interested in learning how to do strip. Patients certainly aren't interested in having strip now, especially the younger guys.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because obviously like this guy who called John, he had a second strip procedure. He's very happy. We all know that you cannot get, especially if you're going to be a higher Norwood, the best possible results unless you do a minimum of one strip. Minimum. I would say if you are going to be Norwood 6, even a Norwood 5, if you can get two solid strips, then go in there and cherry pick with FUE, you're going to get the most bang for your buck and the most hair that's going to be moved. But people don't want to hear that.
No, of course not.
So now it is our job to kind of like – and my job to kind of like show people – now it's not strip versus FUE anymore. It's FUE versus FUE. And not all
– Strip is not even in the equation anymore.
Right.
People don't ask about it. It's rare. And in fact, on Bald Truth Talk, just the other day, there was someone that was asking about doctors in Europe. And what was surprising was he's asking for FUT doctors or FUSS,
right.
Strip surgery.
You can't find them.
No, you can find them. It's like the guys in Belgium, all the guys in Belgium,
they still do it, but they're not doing it. You know, it's not something they're being called on to do a lot anymore.
And they're not advertising it.
They're not advertising it.
They're not talking about their strip results. They're talking about their FU results.
Right.
And it was one of those moments where I'm kind of shaking my head. It's like, oh, okay, wow, all right, yeah, sure. Well, these guys, are still doing it. And it was just funny because no one's asking about it. And when he did, it was almost like a throwback 10 years ago. You know, who's the best strip surgeon?
Yeah.
It's like, I never get that question anymore.
Yeah. But, you know, I was actually talking to somebody else in the industry today, and I just said it was unfortunate that that's the case. And I really think now it is, you know, people have to really concentrate on FUE versus FUE.
Yeah.
And sadly, there is a lot of stuff happening in the field that I'm noticing, and some guys who have really good names who've been around for a long time, and they are adopting this model of FUE where they are just bringing in a bunch of techs, signing off on it. As, you know, these guys are, you know, former or current leaders in the field, but just signing off on it. And people are saying, okay, I'm going to Dr. So-and-so for my FUE, when they're really going to see, you know, Darlene and Sharon and, you know, a bunch of giggling girls. I hate to say it. I mean, there's obviously some mature techs too. But, you know, they're, you know, smelling of cigarettes. And I mean, I've heard so many crazy stories.
Look, what gets me about this is if you ask a patient, why you're going to this clinic for FUE that's primarily been known for strip. It's like, well, look at the results. What results?
Yeah.
There's strip results.
All the results that you see, even in the FUE column, are probably strip.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is.
Well, there is no FUE column.
Right. It's just results.
Yeah, it's just results.
Look, I got an application from a guy. I'm not going to say from where. And everything looks really good. But I sent you these images, one set of images. I can't find them anywhere, but I swear to God I've seen them someplace before. And that's one thing that's, you know, everything is good. His patients are happy. You know, I would love to take him on board, but that's holding me back. I'm doing image searches, and I know that I've seen these before, either on some website somewhere in my life. And that's holding me back from taking $24,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I can't live with myself if I know this guy's stealing images. I'm not saying that he is. Maybe it's just some sort of deja vu.
When did you send this to me?
I sent to you the images probably about 3 weeks ago.
I want to revisit that now. Now you piqued my interest again.
Fucking killing me, man. Maybe you can do the research for me because I can't find him anywhere. I'm like, I'm contacting his patients. I'm like, this guy, you know, he really qualifies. He's doing really clean work and at a decent price. He's doing a lot of the work himself. But those images are freaking me out. So I guess as I'm getting older, you know, it's also getting to the point where I'm like, you know, I could just fucking retire anyway. Why don't I just kind of maybe push reboot on this thing and, you know, whittle things down a little bit and, you know, kind of bring on some new blood?
Well, look, I look at it like this, okay? When, you know, one of the things that I'm not crazy about in life in general, but especially in this industry, is complacency.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with clinics, the hair transplant industry is, as a whole, you know this just as well as I do, is really slow to change. So when something new comes out, it has to go through literally years of trial by fire.
Yes.
By the other guys before, you know, someone says, okay, let's give this a shot.
Yeah.
And I can understand it, but I think that complacency in general is one of the things that's held the field back from more regular improvements. Because right now, you know, we got these little incremental, you know, okay, oh, great, hypothermosol. That's a great, great development. You know, Dr. Cooley, you know, kind of brought it in the forefront. And now everyone's using it. And then there's, you know, these other little things here and there. But I think that if we weren't so complacent with the status quo, I think that we can make some bigger strides in how we're doing the hair transplant for our patients.
Also, I think of the doctors. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but when it comes to, you know, being on the IAHRS, once a doctor gets on the IAHRS, it's like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
I've made it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the wrong attitude.
Well, I mean, some guys think that.
Some guys think that.
Some guys are like, how many leads can I get per month?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Thanks for playing. This is not going to work out for us.
Yeah. But I think that if they realize that just because they're on doesn't mean they're staying.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm dreaming, but maybe, you know, that could put a little bit of fire under some of these guys.
Well, I think you are dreaming. It's just going to have to be get to the point where, and I've removed several people this year, not several, but a couple of people this year. And I'm probably going to end up removing a few more. And I try to do it quietly. But, you know, I'm thinking now, you know, maybe I shouldn't be that quiet about it. Maybe I need to kind of take a stand and say, you know what? Without mentioning names, there are some fuck-ups among us. And we need to make some changes.
Not just fuck-ups, but
– like you said, you know, people are complacent.
Yeah, complacent. But yeah. But I think also there are situations where – like in, you know, the truth in marketing angle. It's like I'm seeing some things. It's like, really? I mean, you really think that you need to do these things to promote your practice and the results that you're putting out? And it really makes me, I don't know. You know how I've been talking online for years about, you know, the lighting and the details. And, you know, I was the first one to standardize on HD video for a clinic I worked on. I got.
Yeah. You're great and all. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, no, I mean, there's a reason. And, cause I want patients, I want viewers to be able to see these results in the absolute, you know, most honest, truthful way possible.
Yeah.
And when you're doing things to the patient's hair, that's just wrong.
Yeah, you know, even if they're not doing things, but if they're promoting images and posting images with guys with fucking Dermatch or Topic in their hair,
yeah,
that's not good.
And they're allowing it.
And believe me, people see that shit. They see it.
Yeah.
They'll call you out on it. And denying it just kind of makes you look like – I mean, who knows? Maybe the people who are denying it really don't know. I don't know.
Well, I look at it like this. If you don't know your own work, if you don't know what a specific number of grafts is supposed to look like on a certain type of scalp with hair loss,
yeah,
then you're just guessing. You're just fumbling through your day.
Well,
I think it's ridiculous to say that you don't know.
Look, all I can tell you is this. We've been in the industry for a long time. We are very honest about what goes on. I received a phone call today from someone who is very upset that you and I were speaking about the bait and switch that's happening when guys are being drawn in by advertising the artist robot and then they're being sold something else. And I expressed to this doctor who contacted me, I'm like, one of the reasons you are with me and part of what I do is because – you are supposed to support what I, you know, my truth in advertising and support me going out there and Joe going out there and telling the truth about this industry. You're behind that. And if a patient comes in, and I'm not saying that you're, you know, it's, if he really believed that, you know, the artist technique wasn't the best technique for this patient, that's different. But all of his advertising is the robot. This is what people expect.
Yeah.
Maybe put into in your advertising, you know what? We offer the artist technique, but for most of our patients, we think that this technique is more suitable. Then at least people know what they're going in. They're going to have a full, you know, knowledgeable, fully informed consultation. So during this guy's consultation, he's like, you know what? I heard Spencer and Joe Tillman talking about this whole bait and switch thing on their show the other day. This fucking guy calls me up. He is pissed. I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know? Apparently, you just pulled the bait and switch.
Yeah. And if you didn't, why are you so pissed?
Exactly. Well, I'm thinking, why are you so mad? I mean, maybe you lost $14,000, $15,000. If you're that busy, you're going to make that up tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's probably better that you don't perform surgery on this guy because if he's complaining about the bait and switch, if something goes wrong, he's going to be very unhappy.
And everyone will probably know about it too.
So I just saved your ass. I also try to explain that to him as well. But anyway, a lot of changes are going to happen this year. I'm excited about it. I have a dinner to go to. So guys, I'm not going to take any more phone calls. Okay, see how I made believe like I had more phone calls? Not going to take any more phone calls. Andrew Zarian is the house photographer tonight. Let's see. There he is.
I'm Snapchatting.
Oh, let me put your
I'm Snapchatting.
You're Snapchatting.
Yeah.
Holy shit. How many viewers you got? How does that work?
I don't know. I'm new to it.
You're new.
I'm too old for Snapchat.
Yeah. Is that what it – because you're like on the – well, you're a millennial.
Yeah, no.
You're like a Generation Y/millennial?
I'm in that weird in between. Like, my brothers are millennials.
Right.
And they're terrible.
Yeah.
It's just I can relate more to someone from 1974 than they can to someone from 1984.
Right. Right. I understand that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. I guess I am a baby boomer.
You are. Yeah, you ruined it for us.
Yeah. I am a product of the greatest generation.
And you guys have crippled the economy and ruined it for my generation. Look at that.
Oh, no.
Created a bunch of pussified kids that are afraid to do anything.
Not baby boomers, man.
No, but the baby boomers created
generation wise.
But the baby boomers made them.
Baby boomers made me. My generation,
you're a baby boomer.
I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah. So you made me.
So Zarian's upset for the
that's right. You are right. I'm sorry.
You're on my father.
I had an argument like this with common law and I was completely wrong. Yes.
Was this like a revelation right now?
No, not about this particular thing, but something similar. And you just gave me post-traumatic stress from that.
Oh, my God.
Guys, we're gonna say goodnight. I want to thank Andrew Zarian for hanging out. He's going to be here for a couple of days. Are you going to be actually doing all your shows from the studio?
I was going to stay till Saturday.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to go to the wrestling show in Reseda.
And that's why.
I'm leaving on Friday.
Wow.
You're a bad man.
I would have gone. I was just giving you shit.
You didn't want to go.
No, we would have had to drive the Navigator, that's all.
All right. It's at like the American Legion or the Columbus, whatever, Knights of Columbus.
When's the last time you've been to Reseda?
When I drive by every time.
You drive by the exit?
Well, I see the exit.
Yeah.
Never actually been inside.
Well, a lot of good fast food joints.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're gonna call it a night. I got all these buttons here now, all these people. Joe Tillman, thank you so much for hanging out, man. It was a great show.
Good to be here as always.
Andrew Zarian.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Sorry that you...
No, I enjoyed the show.
I wish you would have set up a three-shot. It would have been more fun.
Next time.
I think people are upset.
Next time.
Upset that they didn't...
That's right. Joe Tillman took my spot.
They didn't get enough to...
I get it. Joe Tillman. Joe Tronic, everybody.
There he is. It's all about Joe.
It's all about Joe.
There he is. Let's put the spotlight on Joe. There you go.
We are a weird, odd couple. Us three.
I would love to do a live show, us three,
just getting loaded and just talking shop.
You know what? We'd have to pipe in specs just to add a little flavor.
We'll have like a giant screen with his head on it.
Right.
And he'll sit there and he'll do his whole shtick.
Yeah.
Specs isn't human. I just got to say that.
I would love it.
He can't. He's not, because he can drink all night and he wakes up, he looks exactly the same.
Not you.
Specs. He's not bloated at all. He walks out like a soldier, man.
It's amazing.
All right, guys. We're going to go. Joe, I'll see you later.
Right on. Have a good time tonight.
All right, man. We will talk.
Zarian, take care of him.
Thanks a lot. He'll take care of me.
Later, guys. Take care of him.
See ya.
Guys, let me give out the websites. It's theballtruth.com for archive broadcasts of archive shows of this broadcast. You can check out theballtruth.com. Also, guysfromqueens.com. Check out Andrew Zarian and all of his...
insanity.
All of his insane buddies and, you know, tech guys.
Who's my insanest buddy? When you say insane buddy...
I would say that I'm probably, on the surface.
Yeah.
I seem really well.
Talking about insane buddies. Chauncey stayed at my house.
Chauncey's
on
pretty...
On Saturday.
Yeah, Chauncey's got some issues.
Saturday night, so do I. We got Domino's. It was great.
Yeah.
Another fellow sufferer.
He's a fellow sufferer. Yeah. I would say that Chauncey, you know, probably is one of the most interesting guys.
He's one of the most suffering of the sufferers.
Yeah. I mean, John's interesting for sure. You got a couple of guys, the Matt Men dudes. Your Matt Men guy, he's interesting.
One Matt Men guy.
Yeah, he's cool, but I don't really know him that well. He actually seems like he's probably more together than any of us.
He probably has his shit together.
Yeah.
But the man can't drink, I'll tell you that. He came over on Saturday, Sunday. Holy shit.
He's a good drinker.
One of the best.
Wow. Yeah, I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
Until tonight.
We'll see what happens.
All right, guys. The websites, theballtruth.com, ihs.org, which apparently now is the Schindler's List for hair transplant patients. Thanks to John. I appreciate that. If you're considering surgical hair restoration, remember you still need to do your own due diligence. The IHRS is just your starting point. We did our best to create the safest possible environment for hair transplant, prospective hair transplant patients to do their research, and created the message form, balltruthtalk.com. But guys, understand it's a message form, so you're going to get a lot of anonymous posters providing a lot of anonymous information. Or, you know, some of it's hearsay. You know, who knows where the fuck it's coming from. So you need to do your own research. Forums are great. Great place to gather. Great place for a sense of community. But don't take what you read on the message forum as the gospel. And if you do, at least take it from a reliable resource, someone who puts out their face and their name and someone you can contact if something happens. American Hair Loss Association, that's AmericanHairLoss.org. I guess that's it. Until next time, be strong, God bless, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for any inconvenience you may have been put to prior to the program. and I'm glad you enjoyed it. And if you could now leave by the exits at the rear, that'd be splendid. Thank you. Good night.